Well, for the last 7 months, I've been saying the next sermon in our series in the Gospel of Luke. I can no longer say that because last week we finished Luke. But the whole time going through Luke, there was a reason we did Luke. I wanted to make sure we had a fresh, vivid view of who our Savior is, who Jesus Christ is, his teachings, his heart, his love, the actions of his life. Because that is who we worship, that is who we follow, that is who we long to be with. That is who we represent to the world. We are ambassadors of Jesus Christ. If we're going to reflect Christ, we need to see and understand who Christ is. And so we went through the Gospel of Luke. And as we were working the way through the Gospel of Luke, and it's to promote our personal relationship with Christ. So today's sermon title has your ice melted, and I'll explain what ice represents here in a little bit, but this sermon is about having a personal relationship with God, and sometimes that's hard for people to understand, because how can you have a relationship with someone you can't see, you know? But actually, it's not that hard. If you know the person, what they stand for, what their heart is about, there have been many times, my wife is sitting up in the balcony today, but there are been many times in our marriage that we have been separated. Time and space, you know, miles have separated us physically. There was even a time when, way back when, before texting and emails, and I actually wrote on paper something called letters. And I wrote her letters and cards, and we communicated that way. I could not see her, but I could hear from her. And what I have learned over the time is that when we're separated, it seems to make the relationship stronger. So today we're going to look at having this relationship with a God we cannot see. How do we do this relationship? And how does it affect our life and everything in our life? So to begin with, I want to explain what ice represents. Ice represents this, your individual Christ excitement. Now, when you come to Jesus Christ, and the first time you're saved and you're born again because you repented of your sins, and Christ comes in and you feel that fresh feel of forgiveness and love and mercy, and you're excited about Jesus Christ. Some of the most, you know, on fire Christians are brand new Christians. They're excited. They want to tell everybody about their Savior. Last week at the end of Luke, we read this passage, Luke 24. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he, Jesus, talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" There was an excitement. There was a burning in their soul for Jesus and what he taught. Their ice was rock hard and cold, and you know how it is on a hot day when you get a nice cold ice, cold drink. Just refreshes you. Now, some will tell you that Jesus saves you for you to serve him, for his purposes and his glory. And that is true, but it's not the main reason God saves human beings. The main reason that he saves you is to bring you into a personal relationship with him, to know him. Jesus said this in John 17, "This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." God is seeking to have you in a personal relationship with him. You're his child. He's not a distant God like the God of Islam, Allah, who's not personal and cannot be known. The other gods of the Greeks and the Romans and all through history, gods that had nothing to do with their so-called children. And the reason they don't have anything to do with them is because they're false gods. The one true God, the one God that brought all things into existence, is a personal God and a God that wants you to know him. Jeremiah wrote this, Jeremiah 9. This is what the Lord says. Let not the wise man boast of his wisdom, or the strong man boast of his strength, or the rich man boast of his riches. But let him who boasts boast about this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord who exercises kindness, justice, and righteousness on earth. For in these I delight, declares the Lord. Jeremiah also went to say this in Jeremiah 24. I will give them a heart to know me, that I am the Lord. They will be my people, and I will be their God. For they will return to me with all their heart. Now, here in context, it's talking about the children of Israel. But as you go through the Old Testament, the children of Israel, very symbolic of Christian, your walk as a Christian. And God calls his children, the children of Israel, the children of the new covenant, Christians, he calls them to know him. He gives us a heart to know him. And he gives us that heart so that we can use all of our heart to know him. But the heart is a tricky thing. The heart is where a lot of evil, all evil, comes from within a person. That's why we need a new heart. We need his spirit so that our heart will produce good and not evil. Jesus spoke about the heart. He said in Matthew chapter 6, do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our hearts were given to us by God so we may know God. It is fitting to say that our treasure, our should be God and not anything else. But in life, we end up having lots of treasures, which we're going to talk about here in a second. But here in Matthew 12, verse 35, Jesus says this, a good man or woman, out of the good treasure of his or her heart, brings forth good things. Go back one. There you go. Our heart should have a good treasure. Our heart is filled with a good treasure, it'll bring forth good things. Now you can bring up the heart. This table right here represents your life. Good, bad, everything in your life, this table represents. This canister is your heart, who you are, what's most important to you in your life. It's got a lock on it. Sin holds our heart captive until Christ releases us from sin, and our heart is open. God wants to fill our heart with his love, mercy, grace, his sweet spirit. But the Bible says where your treasure is, there's where your heart will be. Now, for many of us, there are things we hold very dear in this life we treasure outside of God. Not necessarily bad things, but we hold them very, very, very close. Actually, I got most of those treasures in this box. Now, let me open it up. There are things I have in here that are symbolic of the treasures we have in our life that fill up a space in our heart. What is probably the number one treasure most of us have? We treasure in our hearts. Children, family, I heard that. Okay. Relationships, whether it's spouse, husband, grandchildren, children, symbolic of G.I. Joe and Barbie. Okay. This represents every relationship, every person in our life that we treasure. We treasure them, they're in our heart. What's another thing we treasure? Food. Wrong answer. This is my Marine Corps K-bar, official knife of the United States Marine Corps. Many people today in our culture treasure their jobs. They spend way too much time in it, forsaking family and other things, God. But for me, the United States Marine Corps was everything. That was my identity. And for men more than women, but women as well, but for men, many of them find their identity, their worth in their occupation. For me, it was the Marine Corps. I didn't know how to define myself as a man after I left the Marine Corps. This represents those that treasure their job, their occupation. So what else we got in here? Ah, checkbook. Money's not evil. The love of money over God is. It's the root of all evil. So many people treasure their checking account, their money. Let's see what else. Ah, skin so soft. Today in our culture, many people treasure beauty, especially out in Hollywood, where people are becoming more plastic than flesh. People treasure staying beautiful, pour lots of money, time into being beautiful. Let's see what else. Oh, here's a big one, especially for a lot of people, our younger people. Treasure technology. iPhones, computers, these things almost run our lives nowadays. We treasure them. We go crazy if we lose our phone. We can't operate. People really treasure technology. They can't wait for the newest thing to come out. Oh, better homes and gardens. Some people treasure their homes. I knew a couple in Texas. We got there, they had this beautiful home. But it wasn't good enough, so they built another one. Bigger, better. Before I left there, within 3 years, they were building their third home. Bigger and better. Just, they had to have more. They treasured having this big old home. Get it in the heart here. Okay. What else do we treasure? Oh, now this is not something necessarily I treasure. I'm not a tie guy, but this represents clothes, shoes. People have killed people for tennis shoes or jackets. Ladies, I'm not even going to ask how many some of you pairs of shoes you might have in your closet. But a lot of people treasure clothes. That finds a place, the right kind of clothes too, you know, certain name or logo on it. Now, other people treasure health. Not really beauty, but health. Working out. These are my workout gloves. You tell they're not used that much. But workout gloves, lifting weights. People want the perfect body. They're just in love with fitness and eating the right thing. It drives me sick, you know, just nuts. And get that in the heart there. Oh. Golf balls. Wendy's, mine. I think mine, no, mine. Yours is the pink one, right? Yeah. This represents sports. Is our country saturated with sports? People so passionate about sports. I can talk to teens that can tell you everything about their football team's players. They can't tell you much about the 12 apostles. Sports, people are all into. Get that in the heart. Oh, these are video cables to a TV. Some people are passionate about movies and TV, and it sucks up a lot of their time. Oh, here's one. It's an older version, but video games, more entertaining. Yeah, someone put their hands, yeah, video games. There's, you know, they actually got programs now for video game addicts to help people get off video games or addicted. J. Angela, yeah. Cars. This is probably more men, but it can be women. You always got to have a nice car, brand new car, better car. As a young guy, my first car was a 66 Mustang. Sweet pony, blue and white pony interior, four on the floor, 289. Then my next car was a 78 Trans Am, smoking the Bandit Special, 400 turbo. I used to wash and wax my cars every weekend, ask Wendy. She hated my cars. They were a treasure to me because I thought it defined me. It showed who I was. Oh, one more thing. Bulletin from First Baptist Church. Well, that's not a bad thing to have in your heart, but it can be. When the church becomes more about you than God. When it's what you want it to be more than God wants it to be. And it can be where, you know, times change, generations change, and people say, well, I don't want my church to change. I don't want my church to do anything to reach any other generation but my own. Church is all about me and what I want. Then you're treasuring the wrong thing. Or it could be like a ministry. Church ministry you serve in, where really instead of serving in the ministry for God's glory, you're serving for your own. Because you like being in charge, or you like people giving you pats on the back. Ministry in church can actually become a treasure of heart that's not that good. I can't get it in here. There we go. All right, there's our heart and the treasures of our heart. There might be others I didn't name, but you see, God said, I give them a new heart so they may know me. And I want to fill their heart with my love and grace, symbolic of the washing of water. And Christ says, you'll become like a living fountain of water filling up with me and overflowing. And God wants to pour his sweet spirit, the fresh water into our lives. It's just sometimes there's no room for God. We got it filled with so many things. God doesn't have much of a space in there. You see, what we need to do is understand that none of this stuff is necessarily bad, but we treasure it because we don't want to lose it. But let me tell you something. Even if you treasure and hold it close as you can, everything in this world can be lost, can be destroyed. The only thing you have for certain in this life is Christ, who says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. What we have to do is understand that God wants to fill our heart with him, and that'll be our treasure now that have the good treasure of a good heart, good things come. So what we want to do is take these things we treasure. They're still in our life, but we want to put them in the right priority where they truly belong, and which is not necessarily the heart. And we want to make room, not for that one. We want to make room in our life for these things. You see, we want our heart to be filled with Christ. Our only treasure should be him, seeking him, experiencing him, loving him. So he can take his sweet spirit and he can fill us with goodness and love and grace and mercy, oh, and excitement and peace. And he just, you can't ever get enough of God. He just keeps, he has the ability to fill you up all the way. Pretty good. But you know, he doesn't stop here. He says, you'll be like a living well, a fountain springing up. And you see, these things that we treasure, oh, they're so much better when we let God in them. We trust God with all this stuff, our bank accounts, our jobs, especially our relationships. And I'm going to put them a little closer to the heart. You see, when we let Christ be our number one and he fills us, he not only fills us personally, he fills us and we overflow. And it flows out into all these areas of our life and touches them and makes them better. This is the goal. Now, I'll be honest, this is not easy to do. This can take a lifetime to achieve, but it is achievable. Because with Christ, all things are possible. And he says, I've given them a heart to know me, and I want them to love me with all their heart. The greatest commandment, love the Lord your God with all your heart. And all these other things that we worry about, God will take care of. Now, how do we get there? Well, it's through this personal relationship. This personal relationship of knowing God. You can go to the next slide. Just hit once. There you go. Now, to get to there, we got to start here, knowing God. And Tram has graciously volunteered to help me. So come on up, Tram. By the way, Tram's going to be talking to me after church, and I think we'll be baptizing you next Sunday. Yeah. So they've been attending our first service, but now they're also attending the second. Well, now they're attending the second service, so. All right, slide back. You're too close. All right. Give me some personal space here, all right? All right. Now, Tram accepted the Lord about a month ago. Yeah, we sat down, and she wanted to know about the gospel and God and knowing God, and we walked through the gospel, and I told her she had to have that moment with God where she turned from her sin, and before she came to my office to talk about the gospel, this is Tram, by the way, okay? Symbolic of Tram. Before Tram got there, me and others were praying for Tram, which was this ice I'm putting in. Prayers for her to have understanding. Lots of prayer. And then she came in my office, and I opened up the Word of God, which is this ice, and I gave her the gospel. And I told her how Jesus died for her and how God loves her. She had prayers. She had the Word of God. She left my office. I told her she really needed to think about it. So she meditated on what we had to say and on the Word of God. Then she had that moment where she asked God to forgive her and to save her. She turned from her sins and put her faith in Jesus Christ. And at that moment, the Holy Spirit came into her life. Symbolic of my Coca-Cola. And the Holy Spirit came in and filled her, and she was excited, and she wrote me an email saying, I had my moment with God. You like Coke? Take a good drink of that Coke. Was it? Oh, yeah. Is it refreshing? Nice? All right, all right. And that's what we are as new Christians. We're excited. We're like a new Coke and bubbling and fizzing, the caffeine and the, you know, the ice is in there, the Word of God and prayers and meditating. And we're just, this is us. We're excited about Christ. We have our ice is not melted. Now, hopefully this is everybody when they come to Christ. But over time, every person, the excitement dies a little bit. The passion kind of maybe goes away. And many times we go from this down the road as a Christian to this, where the ice, our individual Christ excitement, has melted. It's kind of, you know, lost its freshness, its zeal. And we're just kind of going through the motions as a child of God. You know what's coming, don't you? Mm-hmm. I want you to take one more sip of this. If I was nice, I'd have you sip this and then that. But now take a big sip of that, and everybody's watching. Okay, describe the difference.
This one's a lot fizzier.
Fizzier?
Flat. This one's ice cold.
Ice cold?
Room temperature.
Yeah, I poured it yesterday. Watered down, too. No flavor. Mm-mm. Okay. This is what happens to a lot of Christians. Right there. Because a lot of Christians, you can go have a seat in the front row, and I'll call you back up here in a second. You see, a lot of Christians, after this, they start seeking God in the wrong way. They start seeking God, which is a good thing, but they do it the wrong way. You see, they start losing their emotion, the feel of the moment. And see, they still got the spirit, they still got those emotions, but it's, like she said, flat. It's not fizzy and alive and refreshing. They want to recapture those feelings, the emotions. So what they do is they take ice, the wrong kind of ice, and they drop it in. I gotta go to church. Church is where it's at. I gotta be in church. Or maybe I gotta serve in a ministry. And I gotta seek signs and wonders and big rock and roll concerts. And they add the ice. One more time. I want to make sure, maybe it's changed. Nice big sip. No? All right. Don't like that one. Okay. It hasn't changed. Because you see, everything they're seeking is on the outside of them. Church, serving in a ministry, seeking emotional high, signs and wonders. You see, that's not the way God designed your heart. It's on the inside. It has to be a personal relationship. Church is good. It's supposed to be encouraging, uplifting, and helping, but it's not the main course as a Christian. Serving in ministry is good, but you serve because you love Jesus Christ, not because you're seeking Him. Motions come and go. You want a solid relationship with God. When you seek this path, you end up looking and tasting and experiencing this. Flat. You can become religious. You're works-based, which usually leads to legalism. This gives you, because you're seeking everything around you to try to fulfill something on the inside, it gives you a vision, a temporal vision, perspective. All you see is what you see around you. And because it's not fulfilling you inside, you get critical, you get judgmental, you can even get into a depression, despair. Because you want to recapture this. But this is where you find yourself. A boring, dull Christian. And you're bored with the faith. Now you just find yourself attending church and sitting in a pew. You want to get back to this. Christ wants you this. What caused this? Well, let's look at the right way of seeking Christ. You seek God with real eyes, The Word of God. You got to be in the Word of God. You got to, it's alive, it's a powerful, it's living, it's sharper than a two-edged sword. It renews the mind, it restores the soul. It tunes your heart, your life into the frequency of God, and you start to hear God speak through those scriptures. So you pray, you pour out your heart with God, and he talks to you and answers prayer. Sometimes he doesn't, but you know he's listening. And you fill your life with this, allowing the Holy Spirit to be in you and using you and going out to those around you. And because you're keeping good ice and you're staying active and you're found, the Lord just keeps pouring into you good stuff. Now the treasure, good treasure of a good heart produces many good things. You can keep that now. Sit down and relax. See, if you seek God this way, the Holy Spirit uses the Word in prayer to bring your life inside alive. It doesn't matter what happens on the outside because the inside is okay. It's right with God. This gives you a spirit-filled life of freedom, away from legalism, religion, what man thinks of you. Who cares if the world hates me? God loves me. This gives you freedom to live life. Freedom to enjoy the aspects of your life the right way. This gives you a living hope, an eternal perspective. Because no longer are you just concentrated on the temporal things of this world that can be lost or destroyed, taken away. You're focused on heaven. You're focused on eternal things. You're focused on the treasures that wait for you in heaven that no one can take from you. This produces that living hope, that excitement, the love, the joy, the passion that is Jesus Christ. That is God. This is a personal relationship. Your individual Christ excitement never has to melt. It only melts when we allow it and we replace things that are easier, like going to church and doing something at the church, compared to a life of taking in the Word and personal time and sacrifice to have a relationship with God. See, for many Christians, that's just too much. That's just too much to have this. Oh, means I have to give up TV, and I know that can be difficult. It's a nice way to wind down after a day. Oh, man, turn off the electronics, spend time with God. Family. Friends, loved ones, they can take you away from God. Don't let anything in your life stop this from turning into this. Because if you allow this to turn into this, it'll overflow and touch all of this. And I'm not here saying, well, if you seek God, he's going to bless you here. Checkbook. No. I'm just saying everything will be taken care of that you need. But I know for many of you, this is so important to you. You have one loved ones that are lost. But see, you're holding them in your heart. Trust God to overflow from your life. Surrender complete and utter control of your life to God. Seek him with a full heart. Become this, it'll overflow and it'll affect these people. Wendy did this for me. Wendy loved me, but God became number one in her life. And her life overflowed and affected my life. For 4 years, she flowed into me, prayed for me. She prayed for me. I was that empty cup she was dropping prayers in. Then God brought back the word of God from my youth, and I repented of my sins. And God made me a nice, refreshing Coca-Cola. I'm not going to drink out of that because Tram drank out of that. Let's go on. Finish up. Peter understood this process of seeking God on a personal relationship and allowing his heart to be totally consumed. Because in the beginning, Peter fought God. He countered Christ. He didn't want Christ to die. When Christ came to rest, he wanted to fight with the flesh. But then Peter came to be a man filled with God. He understood, and this is what he wrote in 1 Peter. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled and does not fade away, reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed in this last time. Verse 6, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, you love. It is possible to have a relationship and a loving relationship with someone you don't see. Because you know Jesus Christ. You know his life. We've read about his life from his being a baby to being a man. We know his teachings. We know his heart. We know his actions. He first loved us. We put our faith in him. We've trusted and obeyed his word to repent. Though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible and full of glory. That's what this is. But when we have all these other things we hold in there, we can't experience that inexpressible joy and glory. As we close, I want to point out God's blueprint for you. This is not an easy process. But from the very beginning, God is the author and finisher of our faith. You started out with God creating in you a person to believe in him. He even gave you the faith to believe in him. For by grace you are saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. He saved you. He's going to create in you this disciple. He's going to create in you this, if you'll let him. And here's his blueprint. Peter lays it out in 2 Peter. Chapter 1, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given to us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you may be partakers of the divine nature. God wants you in a relationship with him. He's bringing you into his divine nature to be a partaker of his love, grace, and mercy, a relationship, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Verse 5, but also for this very reason, because God has saved you and God has given you everything you need, which is himself. For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. All diligence. This is a Greek term to mean an athlete, an Olympian, giving their full devotion to their sport, to training, to every aspect of becoming a champion, and then running the race with everything in their body and heart, just giving it all. We are to give that same kind of diligence to our faith, to our walk with God, our relationship with him. Giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Virtue means not actually just being good, but doing good. When we get first saved and our faith is excited, turn it into doing good. Come to church, love people, and pray for people, encourage people, help people. We put our faith in Jesus Christ to do good, to help others. To virtue, knowledge. You got to take in the Word of God. You got to take in the Word of God. You have to take in the Word of God. You got to. This is how he speaks to you. This book comes alive in your hands with the Holy Spirit. God uses this to speak, to instruct, to teach, to guide, to comfort, to grow you as a believer. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, self-control. The more you take in of the word, the more God fills you with his, he restores your soul, your mind. You have more self-control to battle against the old flesh. Not to give in to temptation, but you have self-control to do the right thing, to honor and obey God. Self-control, perseverance. You can endure all things through Christ. Whatever may come into your life, whatever may come into your life, whether it's a death of a loved one, to loss of a job, or bank account gone, you can persevere because Christ is your treasure. To perseverance, godliness. He is forming you into the image of himself. You are an ambassador of Christ. As you grow and you allow more of him to fill your heart, you will reflect him, his spirit, in the people in your life and into the world. To godliness, brotherly kindness. It's easier to love people outside sometimes the church than people inside the church. Have you ever experienced that? Have you ever had that brother or sister in Christ that you really don't want to see on Sunday morning? Nobody? Have you ever had that brother and sister, you've been walking down the church hall and down the far end, you see that person and so you jump into a Sunday school room? Sit down with the little children? Brotherly kindness. We start to be that Christian that everybody wants to be around at church. Is there those Christians that you can flock to that encourage you, lift you up? I see two sitting side by side back there, Doris and Betty. And I'm not just naming, there's multiple in here that just lift up my spirit when I'm around you. But those two ladies, they're just, their heart, Doris, she fell flat down in the parking lot, gets herself up. Don't touch me. I'm not going to the hospital, I'm going to church. It's like, boom, that's motivating. It's like back in the Marine Corps, you know? My colonel used to say, hey, if your leg is blown off, pick it up and bring it with you. Nothing's going to stop us. Many of you motivate me. Many of you motivate me, encourage me when I come to church. To brotherly kindness, love. God is love. God wants to make us this, where we are so filled with his love, it pours out into the world around us. How does he do this? You go, Heath, that's a lot for me to do. And I know, like I said, it's not you that does it. Let me show you something. Add to your faith. Faith, Galatians 5, fruit of the Spirit. God gives us the faith through his Spirit, and he increases our faith through the Holy Spirit. Add to your faith virtue, goodness, fruit of the Spirit. Again, you allow the Spirit's free reign in your life, you will produce goodness. To your goodness, knowledge. 1 John 2:27, but the anointing which you have received from him abides in you, the Holy Spirit. And you do not need that anyone teach you, but as the same anointing teaches you concerning all things. As long as you have the Holy Spirit, you can open up this word and he will teach you. You may not understand everything at first, but if you stick with it over the years, you will. One of the smartest people I ever knew had a fourth grade education, but they knew the book. To your knowledge, self-control. Again, fruit of the Spirit. To self-control, perseverance. Again, long-suffering, patience, endurance, fruit of the Spirit. To perseverance, godliness. 2 Peter, he says, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life and godliness, God will equip you for all good. To godliness, brotherly kindness. Again, fruit of the Spirit. Brotherly kindness, love. Again, fruit of the Spirit. If you will continue to seek him as you sought him as salvation, he will continue to put the real ice and the real spirit in you. You will grow and you will start to take things that you hold so dear and you'll put them in the right place in your life. You will trust God with them. And he will fill your life. And you will overflow with God's love. And that will affect your life. Has your ice melted? If it has, you're probably seeking God the wrong way. Don't let church, ministry, or anything else take you away from the true course. Knowing God is having a heart full with God, and that happens by seeking him the right way and only the right way. This is the path you want. If you find yourself in here this morning, your relationship has grown strained with God. You do the church thing, but it doesn't really bring any passion, excitement. The other 6 days of the world are filled with all sorts of things, but not Christ. And you want to return to that passion. Today is the day to say, God, I don't want this anymore. And God will clear out that junk and he'll put in the right stuff. He's waiting for that. As a church, we need to be this. Not this. Too many churches have become this. Disconnected from the community. No longer of any value. They're not affecting and helping the community find Christ. We cannot be this. God wants you to know him. Take him up on the offer. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we do praise you. And we thank you, and we are humbled, Lord, to think that the Almighty God that brought this universe into existence wants a personal relationship with each one of us. You know everything about us, and you still want a relationship. That's amazing, Lord. And it doesn't matter how bad we've been, what we've done, you're ready to forgive all and to wash us and purify us from all unrighteousness and to walk with us, never to leave nor forsake us. And on top of that, you want us to take part of your divine nature, to know your heart, to experience your presence, your love, your grace. You want to speak to us and comfort us, encourage us, strengthen us. Lord, you've given us everything we need for this relationship. The only thing that stops us are other treasures that are taking our time away from you. Or we're just lazy and we don't want to spend time with you. We want to take your gift of salvation, but That's all we want. Lord, let that not be said of any of us. Help us to seek you with a full heart. Lord, fill our lives with your sweet spirit. And Lord, we want to be a church that if Reading had to take a sip from us on a hot Reading summer day, First Baptist would be a cold, refreshing, fizzing drink of Coca-Cola. We pray this in your name. Amen.